Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Today, myself and Simon and Danny Murphy look back on Scotland's sensational European Championship qualifying win over Spain. We also discuss the Premier League Hall of Fame after Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger were announced as the first managers to be included. Simon then explains why he thinks Pep Guardiola should be the next manager to receive the honour.
The trouble with Scotland is that it's full of Scots.
Kieran Tierney, he timed that perfectly now. Can he pick out the killer pass?
This is wonderful. What a morning and what a start to the show. Edward Longshanks is with me alongside Danny Murphy, and we're with you all the way through until 1 o'clock. Phones operator, well, he's that and many other things. George through there has just been telling me how much he enjoyed the Scotland win last night. Edward Longshanks, I'll come to you in a second. Danny, what was your take on it? Scott McTominay, you've been telling us he's capable of such a performance. Wow. His contribution was super.
Well, he showed. I've only seen brief highlights, so I wouldn't be.
Oh, have you?
I wouldn't be dishonest enough to say I watched the game for obvious reasons. But we'll get to that.
For obvious reasons. I've always liked obvious reasons. Let's get to it now.
Well, it tends to be dull and drab, doesn't it? Normally, yeah. When you watch Scotland.
Cure for insomnia.
Really?
Yeah, they've exceeded all expectation last night. No one saw that coming. Not even you.
All right, okay.
But back to McTominay.
We're starting with disrespect, and we'll go on with that. Will we?
Just a bit of brutal honesty. The strengths that McTominay.
You didn't think it was part of your job here to watch the game and then come in prepared,
no.
Either of you? But that's
no,
fine.
No.
Sorry, Edward. I'll come to you in a second. Danny,
I was watching a rerun.
I didn't speak
of
to you, Longshanks. Not yet. McTominay
showed the best aspects of his game.
Yeah.
Great energy, great physicality, good technical ability when he wants. People don't see that side of him as much, but because he can get up and down the pitch so well, he's capable of scoring many more goals at United than he does. Obviously, he hasn't played as much, but as I said last week, I think there'll be plenty of clubs wanting to take him if United aren't going to play him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, Hampden now has only seen 2 defeats in 18 competitive games. It's become a fortress. Spain, for that matter, had not lost in 19 European Championship qualifiers. And Scotland are top of Group A. So they're giving themselves every chance, Danny. That's the thing, aren't they? You know, 2 out of 2, like England, 2 out of 2. But they're giving themselves every chance.
Well, it's a brilliant foundation to work from. I think they've got Turkey Is it Turkey they got in the group? Or Norway. Norway next, sorry.
Does your research continue to know no bounds?
Well, I only know about England's group.
Yeah,
look for a player. Yeah. It's a great
Look, there's not a couple of cleaners in the 17th floor we could get in to take over from these two.
We're playing for Scotland.
Well, someone needs cleaning in
here. They'll be better in form.
Yeah. I think they've given themselves a great start.
Good. So great, we beat Turkey, we could get there. All right.
Norway, I said.
Oh, Norway.
You mentioned Turkey in there as well.
I don't know why we should bother asking you, because you didn't watch it either,
did
you?
No, I did not.
No.
It was a choice of Scotland, Colonic Irrigation, or reruns of Songs of Praise.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I did reruns of Songs of Praise to have Colonic Irrigation at the time.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, in all seriousness, it's been a remarkable week for Scotland.
Yeah,
it really has. You've got the national team winning a game.
Yeah.
I think it's a very commendable result.
I think it
should be applauded.
It's only two defeats in 18 competitive games at Hampden. Do you not think Steve Clarke, in his 4 years, he has now shown why he's in the hot seat? Do you not think that he and the Scots should be commended for what they've
absolutely.
Done here?
Absolutely, and Lancaster-born McTominay should be absolutely commended for playing for Scotland. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
that northern grit that comes
what
from Lancaster.
What were you locked into? Were you locked into Union Jack TV last night watching the latest blast from Nigel Farage?
I wasn't watching that.
Your velvet collar and your coat
on. I think I was watching Piers Morgan.
Oh, were you?
I was.
No, it's okay. You don't need to elaborate.
I was one of the few thousand
so Scotland
that was doing that.
Won it by 2-0. Afterwards, Manchester City and Spain's Rodri was full of it.
Is the way they play. You have to respect, but at the end, it's a bit rubbish because it's always wasting time. They, provoke you and they always fall. Like, this is, for me, it's not football. You have to try to, for the speed of the sport, you have to move on. But the referee has to take part on this, and if it says nothing, it's a bit frustrating.
I mean, Danny, that's almost laughable, isn't it? I mean, why would he stoop to those depths purely because he left Glasgow last night with not a point? I mean, Spain disappointed, to say the least. I can tell you, neither of you saw it. But in the latter stages of this game, they were passing the ball out of the park on a regular basis. They couldn't find each other on the pitch. They were so poor, it beggared belief. And he's saying Scotland's style of play and the refereeing.
I always find it annoying when players start looking to blame something else other than themselves for losing football matches.
Right.
I've talked many times on the show about that blame culture that was kicked out of me and kicked out of the Liverpool lads when Ole came in. And it stuck with me for my career. You've got to look first and foremost at yourselves. You've got enough quality on the pitch. I did hear someone talking about the grass being too long. come on. Rodri, he's lacked class there. And he's lacked experience. And what he should have been saying, even if he doesn't really mean it, is we weren't at the races. They did really well.
Yeah.
But there's another game to come.
Yeah.
And, you know, that type is fine. Nobody, you know, we'll have to put it right. To actually go down the line he did and disregard or disrespect what Scotland actually achieved and how well they played and whatever style.
Yeah. I mean, he couldn't bring himself to say anything positive about the Scots.
If he's got anything about him, which I think he probably has, he'll probably look back at that today and think.
Yeah.
It's just a classic case of letting emotion get the better of you.
Sure. Keith, good morning to you. Keith tells us he was at Hampden last night. What an atmosphere, what a result. Not getting carried away, but the present team are looking very good. Keith, you're not wrong. Bill's a Rangers and Scotland fan. Bill, good morning. What's your take on it?
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for winning the game in sixes for me way back in the day with Honours 3.
Yes, in the south side of Glasgow. I know where you are, Bill. What did you make of that? 2-0 against Spain. How does it rank?
I think it ranks very high. We've had some wonderful times up there. And, you know, I'm a bit concerned. I understand where many of them are coming from. But you have to look at where we've come from. England have come through in the last few seasons. They're at the top table now. And so they should be with the resources. But they get plenty of praise. Scotland did something quite special last night, and we can only play with the players we've got. But with respect to Danny and them, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, etc., when they win things, traditionally, they've had some Scots in their team, and we could all name them all. So give some respect and some...
I think you're dead right, Bill. Well said. I mean, Bill's got a point, hasn't he?
I think it's a remarkable result. Does it reinforce your belief that Scotland can win the Euros?
I don't know, is Bill still with us? Bill, what do you think? It certainly reinforces my belief that they will get there, and that has to be the aim in the short term.
As you said, Simon, obviously they're not going to win the Euros, but 4 years ago you'd never have thought England were going to win it. They've been on a journey. I think they still don't have a
I still don't think they will either. So, yeah.
But, you know, they're on a journey. And we've had a lot of hard times up there. And to see some guys who are playing in the English Premier League representing Scotland is a move forward. And I think we have to praise Steve Clark for building
that. I think
that.
That's right. I think you're absolutely right.
Bill,
I think there has been some.
Said.
I mean, he's saying like a respect. We were talking about us not watching the game. The respect I have for the performance is huge. I've been talking about people like McTominay last week, Robertson for years on his quality. I've spoken highly about Steve Clark many times on here because I've met him. I even interviewed him at one point, in which it was great. He was brilliant, and I actually really impressed with him. I've always liked him.
Mm.
So the respect is there. That's just somebody.
It's always been the hysteria coming from the Scottish press after the European Championships when you lost a couple of games was counteracted by me suggesting that actually Scotland were going in the right direction, they were performing well in these games, and that the idea that Steve Clarke should be sacked after the European Championships was poor. Now, we have to live in a situation, Jim, where we live in a studio with you where you constantly turn around and say, if England win anything, it'll be your worst day. So you have to have something.
If England
back.
Win anything, it would be my worst
yes,
day.
Yes, when you sat on it. When you
no,
sat
I've
on,
never
if,
said
if
that.
If England win the European... Yeah, you did. We can get the audio. If England win the European Championships, it'll be my worst day.
Is that what we're reduced to this night? You
no.
said that and I said this
no,
and you
no.
said that and
no,
I said this.
We're setting
Long
the tone.
Chunks. Last night,
we're setting the
Scotland
tone.
Beat Spain by 2-0, and it goes down as one of the greatest ever. Certainly, it rates with November 1999, when I sat behind a goal with former broadcaster, former Celtic Scotland winger, Davy Provan, and England lost to Scotland by 1-0, Don Hutchison with a header. But you lot still went through on aggregate, and we bow to that because you qualified and Scotland didn't. But we won at Wembley that night. Last night, put that in mind for me. A great Scotland win. Our international tournaments, though, Danny, richer here on these isles with the other home nations present along with England. I mean, when another home nation begins to do well, and Wales beat Latvia last night, that should not go amiss. Ranked 133 in the world, 1-0, following the 1-1 draw away to Croatia. So there's life after Bale, isn't there, for the Welsh?
Yeah, but in terms of your first part of the question, I always enjoy tournaments more when we've got more home nations there.
Yeah.
100%. Irrelevant of the silly rivalry and silly comments we have in here or anywhere else for that matter. You know, the Irish travel amazingly well, the Scottish. I was at one of the Welsh games. I did two of them, I think, in the World Cup. Tremendous fans. I mean, the national anthem that the Welsh fans belted out in the stadium I was at was, you know, back of your neck. I think when you have an association with players every week and you're watching them in the Premier League and you see their journey growing up and coming up to play at that level, you're going to want to follow them more in these tournaments. And that, with the home nations, you're going to want them to do well. A lot of these lads are playing for the clubs you support week in, week out, irrelevant of their nationality.
Yeah.
And the gentleman who spoke was right. I mean, some of my memories growing up of Liverpool, Kenny was my hero, you know, Scottish.
Yeah.
Remember Stevie Nicol? Ronnie Whelan, Irish.
Of course.
You know, these are all part of the journey of growing up in this country and
Absolutely.
Watching players thrive, yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you want to give us a call, you can. We'll see if we can whip a few more of you on throughout the morning. Where does it rank amongst your national side's greatest night, Scotland fans? Is that up there? Is it the very best? I heard Charlie Adam
what
on earlier
what
on.
What is it for you, Jim? Because you go well back with the Scots.
It's got to be. It's certainly
What's
up
it
there.
Comparable to?
I mentioned November 1999. When I thought it was going to be too much. Paul Scholes had done the business for England at Hampden. And then Scotland went south. They were trailing on aggregate. Could they turn it around?
Oh, they went out
2-1. Yeah. But Scotland won that night at Wembley 1-0 thanks to Don Hutchison. Last night has to be up there. Maybe it was the very best. If it was, and you're in agreement with that, well, you're more than welcome to come on and tell us just that. 0371 722 344 810 89. I saw it the other day. England, 2 wins out of 2. Yeah. Now Scotland, 2 wins out of 2. There's Alex in Edinburgh. Jim, the disrespect's to be expected. If England had beaten Spain, we wouldn't hear the last of it this morning. Alex, you're right. Especially on your last point. What a couple of melts you work with. I tell you, Alex, that's been kind to them.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now then, if only you'd heard it in the commercial break, that was better than the start to the show. We know what we all feel now. It's Jim White and it's Simon Jordan and it's Danny Murphy. And we are live on TalkSport. Danny, I think the news came out at 10 o'clock this morning. Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger have been inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. It's no real surprise when you look at the statistics that goes with both of these incredible individuals. Sir Alex Ferguson, the most successful manager in Premier League history with a record 13 titles. Including winning the title for an unprecedented 3 seasons on the trot on 2 separate occasions. What about Wenger? Of course, 22 seasons in charge of Arsenal. That is a Premier League record. He won the Premier League 3 times and he made history with the Invincibles. Martin Keown, Arsenal Invincible, became the only team to win the title while remaining unbeaten throughout the entire campaign. Danny, is there any doubt that this was always going to come? Is it not a surprise it didn't come earlier?
Yeah, a little bit. Two of the most obvious candidates from a managerial perspective, if not the most two, but certainly that's Sir Alex and Wenger, what he did for the game of football in this country. Yeah, they, from the minute it opened, you might as well just put them in, mightn't you?
Yeah.
I know they like to build it up to make it a big deal, but richly deserved, two wonderful managers who both brought so much to the game. You know, and they're going to be hard to follow because people don't stay in jobs long anymore. I mean, Klopp and Guardiola are the two that have had success and are hopefully still continually going to get success. Only when they finish or leave will we only truly be able to judge that.
Will anyone follow them?
I think it's going to be...
Will anyone come close to toppling them?
I think it'll be hard to come close to what Fergie's done and won. Not just what he's done, what he won, but also the reinvention of the teams, the wonderful dynasty that he created at Manchester United after a period of time where they'd had no success. Difficult to follow that. But we'll wait and see what Pep and Jurgen do. I mean, it's a different game now, isn't it? Very, very few clubs stick with managers as long as those two had at their respective clubs.
Yeah.
It's a different time. But I think Pep will be remembered whenever he leaves as to the style in which he got this City team to play with, the goals he scored, the points he amassed, because that's unparalleled. Nobody won the leagues with as many points as them and scored as many goals. So that's going to be something he deservedly gets credited for.
Simon, from an influence point even alone, is Pep the one who's making chase here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not a surprise that these guys have only just been inaugurated because they're the first ones in. If there was anyone else in front of them, it would be a silly argument. And also, when you launch these Hall of Fame things, you know, it tends to be like in the, I think the blueprint for it is the boxing world, and you don't tend to get the trainers in there first, do you? You tend to get the fighters in there. So when you look at Wenger and obviously Alex Ferguson that have had this longevity, but you look at the fact that Wenger, how many Premier League titles did he actually win? And then you look at Pep Guardiola, and he will compress probably twice the amount of titles that Arsene Wenger won into half the amount of time. Mm. So I think it's undeniable that the next cab off the rank to go into this Hall of Fame would most likely be Pep Guardiola.
Because he's already come close.
Well, I don't see how he can't have done, because if you've won the Premier League four times out of the last five seasons,
yeah,
I think that's a remarkable record, and I think it will put him right up there. It will supersede what Arsene Wenger... I mean, Arsene Wenger's record is the Invincibles, and the fact that that Arsenal and Manchester United were the two poster boys for the Premier League. But I think undeniably... And then you start to run a little bit dry, because I don't think you can really suggest that winning one Premier League gives Jurgen Klopp a scenario.
No, but
whilst he's an elite manager, does it make it into the Hall of Fame because of that?
Well, it depends what the criteria is. I was thinking about this from a player perspective and a manager perspective, and this is, it leads back to the Harry Kane debate. So, you know, somebody who's contributed so much to a league. So if you look at someone, I don't know, say Sam Allardyce, pluck him out the amount of games he's managed in the Premier League and the impact he's had on so many clubs. Is he somebody that's given a huge contribution, deserves to be recognised in the Premier League, even though he's not won
Depends
silver?
Depends on the criteria, isn't it?
Yeah, but silverware, does people do become obsessed
Interesting
with silverware?
Thing, Jim, not in the conversation that we've had so far and the conversation that we're talking about people popping in there next, not one of them's an Englishman.
But when you look at it, I mean, in terms of what Ferguson did though, Simon, to be honest, it beggars belief.
It does.
It's only when you reread the achievement, you think every day, all day long, he should be in a Hall of Fame. I mean, and Wenger for his influence in what he did in that invincible season. But 13 titles with Ferguson.
Do you ask the question? Do we ask the question, has the Premier League ever been more challenging than it is now? Because when Ferguson and Wenger win their pomp, who was really, really, really pushing them economically and football-wise? And I mean, I suppose we can pull people out and say the Newcastle were the entertainers in 96, but when you look at the landscape now and you've got Manchester City in the mix now,
yeah,
you've got Liverpool in the mix, you've got Chelsea in the mix now that are real bona fide, you could see any one of those winning a Premier League, whereas back in the day, it was a little bit more Arsenal, Manchester United, Arsenal. And then I'm not suggesting that in one second you should decry the achievements of Alex Ferguson, because they are unique at a unique football club. But it does round the circle about what now is the criteria. And you wonder if the time had been replaced with Ferguson coming in now, if he would win 13 titles in the same way he did before.
I take your point, but I think with Fergie, his ability to know when to get rid of players and then go and pluck the best in class from somewhere else at the right moment and integrate them into a team while mixing younger players from the Academy of United and things like that, is incredible. His timing of decisions was superb.
Yeah, and when you look what he achieved himself, he was named manager of the season 11 times.
Yeah.
His record of wins, 528 wins from 810 matches played. I mean, Sir Alex, really? And Wenger in there as well. Absolutely on merit. The question is, as these two are inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame just this morning, in fact, in the last 29 minutes, will anyone come close to toppling their dynasties of influence and success? Well, we're agreed on Guardiola, and he's already giving chase, and he's already in there as a disruptor. But who may follow Pep? That is a big question.
100% engagement. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Who is close to following suit? There's an interesting one, Simon. Good morning. Great show. How about Neil Warnock for his achievements? Everything he's done for the game. Always been employed. That's Rob down in Dorset. Neil Warnock, should he be in there?
Is it a Premier League Hall of Fame or is it an English Football Hall of Fame?
This is the Premier League Hall of Fame,
Neil can't be in it then, can he?
Yeah, if it was for achievements probably as a manager to the game in general.
Yeah.
You would think, yeah.
For the amount of promotions he's got, for the teams that he's been involved in, I think he's got 7, 8, 9, 10 promotions, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you'd have to say, on that basis, if that was a qualification in terms of being inside English football, he would have a right to be in that Hall of Fame.
As a possible inductee, Danny, we're getting the name Jose Mourinho a lot, certainly over Klopp. Trucker Johnny is saying, surely Mourinho gets in there ahead of Klopp. Max is saying he's a Blackburn fan, but Mourinho, I would have thought, could rival Guardiola as to be the next one who's in that Hall of Fame. Mourinho, I keep on seeing the name now coming through.
He did brilliantly. He created a really effective Chelsea team. It was good to watch, won titles. So yeah, he's in the running. It depends what the criteria is, how elite do you have to be. I mean, if you're talking about...
3 Premier League titles, same number as Arsene.
Well, then he'll be in. He'll be in.
Eclipses Klopp.
And also the way he did it. You know, he came in from nowhere. He had no experience, walked through the door and bang, quite quickly got success. He didn't wait around. It wasn't like he needed 3 to 5 years.
He did the first season, yeah.
He did it very... Was it first season?
First season, yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of I suppose inevitably you're going to go, the most decorated players are going to be in first, and then, of course, the most decorated managers. But there will be some people who probably deserve to be in there, who aren't decorated.
It'll
like
be interesting to ascertain, Jim, what the actual criteria is, because then you can start to mushroom it out into the arguments that Danny's making about whether Sam Allardyce falls into the category, whether David Moyes' achievements at Everton and subsequently...
It's not even achievements. It's whether that's...
Well, it has to be achievements, doesn't it? It can't just be...
Contribution.
It has to be achievements, doesn't it? I mean, it has to be something.
You would have to see a list of what they actually did during their times in charge. And so the list for Ferguson and the list for Wenger's...
Would you think the majority of people would say no to Moyes and no to Allardyce because they didn't win anything?
Probably. I think it's got to be what you've actually, your honours, what you did at the time.
I think the first out, I mean, it's unarguable, I think, that Guardiola has to go in next. It can't. Yeah. I know, but it cannot be.
I get that.
Because there's only, again, otherwise you're going to run dry very quick, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not going to have many people in it from the management point of view. You're going to have an endless amount of players, but you're going to have very few managers. So you're going to have to widen the criteria to be based upon longevity, the amount of clubs that you've managed, and those sort of things.
Because otherwise, you'd have Claudio Ranieri in there ahead of Moyes and Allardyce.
I mean, would you feel, as a Hall of Fame manager, if you're Alex Ferguson, and then with due respect to Sam, you're then in a Hall of Fame with Sam Allardyce, who's never won anything, and you've won everything?
Yeah. The imbalance is extremely clear.
Fair point, yeah.
Although Ferguson would probably welcome Allardyce as the best of pals.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it's funny how it works out. I think it's what you actually did in your times in charge. And for Wenger and Ferguson, the two did what will never be repeated, particularly, I would say, Sir Alex.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.